This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast.
The Hidden Killers Podcast.
With Tony Bruschi.
We are talking with Jennifer Coffendapfer, retired FBI special agent. And we're talking about the Brian Koberger case today. I want to ask you about a little bit of reporting that we saw. Now, granted, it was from the Mirror in the UK. But do you have any idea where they were coming from on saying that she had witnessed a naked man going through the sliding glass door? Is this just very, very bad reporting from the Mirror? Because they were citing an affidavit, and I don't see any affidavit where that's ever been mentioned like that.
Right. You know, whenever I see a report like that, that is extremely specific, mm-hmm. and contrary to anything we've heard in this case before,
yeah.
The first thing I do is go to the source as to what they said their source was.
Yeah.
In this case, it was very specific. The private eyes affidavit. Well, the private eyes affidavit is just a few bullet points.
Yeah. And it said nothing of that.
There's no meat on the bone of that affidavit. There's nothing. And certainly nothing about a naked man running through a sliding glass door. So I cannot begin to guess where that information came from.
It just seems very, very bizarre. The only thing that ran through my mind when I saw it was, did they use ChatGPT to generate this story? And ChatGPT does tend to actually make things up sometimes. And that's the only thing that came through my mind. Would there be another affidavit somewhere that they're referring to that has not been made public, that's been leaked or something of that nature?
No, I don't believe so. We see no other affidavit. And when you look at the whole purpose of this affidavit, the affidavit was submitted to not only as a part of the record for the Nevada judge, mm-hmm. it's also been submitted to the magistrate judge in Idaho for decisions to be made, mm-hmm. right?
Yeah.
And you want to put your best foot forward, which in this case, as an example, the prosecution did. When they put together their probable cause affidavit, they put their best probable cause forward. Mm-hmm. In fact, I've always said this is a probable cause plus affidavit. I've never seen a criminal complaint affidavit with this much detail. And there's a reason for that, because of course now all this information is out there to be picked apart. And that's fine, because they're going to get it all anyway through discovery.
Sure.
But it makes this process, because they're going in this direction of a preliminary hearing, more difficult.
Was there anything on the actual affidavit from the private investigator that stood out to you? Is anything, I know you just said there's no meat on the bone of any of it, but was there any purpose to it? Did they come back with anything new or anything that benefits Koberger?
No. There were two things that stood out. Mm-hmm. The first thing that stood out was their basis were the police reports that they already had. Mm-hmm. That was problematic to me for the reasons we just talked about.
Sure.
They already had it. The other thing that stood out was a conclusion he makes, which is saying that there's in part exculpatory information, mm-hmm. words to that effect, that she had, you know, some exculpatory. Well, you can't jump to that conclusion. Mm-hmm. I can't say something is exculpatory and just expect the court or anyone else to believe it. I have to say what the exculpatory information is.
Yeah.
In the probable cause affidavit, it's not enough as a law enforcement officer to say, I think he's guilty,
sure.
or I think he was there. Well, why? It's great you think he was there. It's great you think he committed this crime, but you have to have substance, and there was zero substance. And that's what stood out to me. I went back and I looked at their exhibit list. Mm-hmm. I thought, well, maybe, and there were some blank pages, which confused a lot of people who don't normally look at these documents, I noticed, but no, they're right there. The exhibits. So there was nothing hidden. There was nothing redacted. And I think that's a big reason why we saw this compromise met.
Just that they're pulling at straws here, almost seemingly trying to find something to have Koberger stand on. We now see that the defense is getting some more counsel involved beyond just the initial woman that was there. What does this mean for it? Is this just, you know, typical as they're getting ready for the hearing here in June? Is this something that may speed up the process with a grand jury convening? What does it mean that we're seeing more people involved now? On the prosecution side, I misspoke. Yes.
Right. Oh, I was actually extremely surprised that this did not happen earlier. Just to put one small thing in context here. Can you imagine, Tony, the volume of records that the FBI analysts throughout the country, because they very specifically said they had doled it out to our analytical force throughout the country, the amount of work that was put into finding the 2011 to 2013 vehicle. Now, some might say, yeah, but Jen, this was a 2015, that all that doesn't matter. Well, all of that is still going to go to them. And these are all nuggets that they sometimes will take and they'll say, look, this, it was actually this person with this 2013. Mm-hmm. And he was there in this time frame. You know what I mean? The defense will be looking at all of that. And so will the prosecution. And the prosecution is going to need help. And the defense got more help. And now the prosecution is.
Is there any chance that we're going to see the grand jury being convened early, or just a grand jury being convened prior to that hearing? I know that's been speculated on ever since the beginning of this. Is this going to push it more in that direction, or are we likely going to end up be going all the way to June and late June for the actual hearing to take place?
Tony, it's baffling to me, when I reviewed what Idaho can do. Do they have the ability? They have the ability to call a grand jury. It's just their practice in Idaho, as we saw with the Vallo case, that's also a very high profile case, to go with preliminary hearings. Now, that's all well and good, but it's there and available. And the prosecution, I believe, is remiss not to go with a grand jury. There's absolutely no reason to, from the prosecution standpoint, mm-hmm. to have a preliminary hearing. Now, from the defense standpoint, they should be chomping at the bit, salivating, to have a chance to cross-examine these witnesses, to have a chance to gain all sorts of knowledge regarding the information they already have via discovery, but through the lips of other officers and other professionals they're going to call, and maybe other witnesses such as Bethany. They tried to get her there. Mm-hmm. So anyway, from a defense standpoint, you want that preliminary hearing. From a prosecution standpoint, you don't want it. And I'm baffled as to why they don't call a grand jury. Your question was, will they call a grand jury? And if they stick with how Idaho does things, usually they won't.
This is an examination of the hidden human condition.
This is the Hidden Killers Podcast
with Tony Bruschi.
Jennifer Coffendaffer, retired FBI special agent, thank you as always for your insight. Always love having you on as a guest. You guys, please press subscribe wherever you download podcasts. You don't miss any breaking updates or discussions on the cases we're following for you right here. I'm Tony Bruschi. Stay with us.